The opening words of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower have been going through my head. There must be some way out of here. There must be some way out of the injustices and oppression that the Black Lives Matter seeks to right. There must be some way out of humankind's casual misuse of the planet as nature drowns in a sea of plastic and the weather grows ever more extreme. How do we ever move away from the scandal of poverty and inequality? For all our technological advances, the gulf between haves and have-nots persists. There must be some way out of fake news and the love of power for its own sake. There must be some way out of greed and violence. There must be some way out of here. And then I reflect, if we're going to find our way out, we better understand how we got here in the first place. If we go on taking the same paths, we will only go deeper into the mire. Last Monday, the BBC began a radio series called Rethink, the aim being to invite different views, not so much in how the world will be changed as we emerge from coronavirus, as how it should change. I sense it was significant that the first voice to be heard was not that of an economist or a politician, but a spiritual figure, Pope Francis, as if there was an understanding that money wasn't the answer here, nor a new policy initiative. The problem goes deeper. It's about what's at work in our individual and collective spirits, the level of soul. We can't do window dressing and hope that it'll be enough. We have to look at what's driving us. Over these months, more and more people have been turning to spiritual resources in search of an answer. There's a wariness about organised religion for many. But in the safety of the internet, people have been searching for meaning and direction personally and within our common life. In 2015, Pope Francis wrote an encyclical letter, Laudato Si, exploring the root causes of the climate emergency, the destruction of natural habitats, and how this impacted on the poor and the vulnerable. The recurring mistake humankind makes in tackling issues, he suggested, is that we don't see the connections. The source of the harms we inflict through our lack of respectful relationship with one another and with creation. We attempt to use power, technological innovations, physical force, financial muscle, to overcome successive crises that come up, whilst failing to see that it's the very misuse of power that does the damage. The use of muscle is something churches themselves haven't been immune from. I remember in my early 20s going to St. Peter's in Rome, at the heart of the Vatican, and not liking it. My travelling companion, who was in no way religious, loved it. And I, a good Catholic, couldn't wait to get out. The vast building seemed to be an assertion of dominance. High, overbearing statues, gold leaf, mighty pulpits, expressed unwavering certainties. Here was a place for truth to be asserted, not listened to. Perhaps I'm reading too much as I look back, but the emotional reaction I had then was real. The sense of not being comfortable here, and the real doubt that God could feel comfortable in that place either. My sense is that Pope Francis has been trying to get out of the Vatican too, if not physically, then as a vision of what God is like, or how church expresses itself, or more fundamentally, an expression of how humankind are to be in their relationships with one another. The opening line of Laudato Si reveals a very different tone. He writes, "I would like to enter into dialogue with all people about our common home." It's the opening line of a letter. And it's also a man of power laying down his power, forsaking his boundaries, venturing out from his own house, not only to teach but to learn, desiring not to enforce his will, but to cooperate. Because this humility, he understands, is also the way of God. There must be some way out of here. How do we get here in the first place? We tend to think about conversion in a religious sense as a personal movement of change in response to God, a turning away from sin and towards the good. The rethink question, not so much how will the world change as we emerge from coronavirus, but how the world should change, touches into a more expansive vision of conversion, a turning away from mastery or dominance as the defining principle of our common life, and a turning to relationships that are founded on humility, reverence for the other, the way of dialogue, and the shape of God's relating. In the way of mastery, we're looking for control. We're at the centre of the universe, and everyone and everything exists to meet our needs. We're acquisitive and possessive, insistent on claiming what's ours. This attitude has an outward appearance of strength. But look behind, and what feeds and drives it is fear. We're on the defensive against those who might challenge our supremacy. We like to build walls to shut out those not of our tribe, anyone who might challenge our way of thinking and perceiving. And the way we communicate is by monologue. We tell people what is right, that is, what we think. In the way of reverence, we honour the other. We recognise interdependence. And we understand we can only thrive by cooperation. Rather than hold what we have against the other, we express our common life by giving and receiving according to what each one needs. The principle at the heart of our shared existence is not fear, but love. Rather than build walls, we welcome the other in, but we also go out of our own house to be welcomed by them. The way we communicate is by dialogue. Dialogue rests on openness, and I say that just as the door is closed by the wind. The willingness to listen to and learn from the other, an open mind rather than a closed mind. Dialogue is vulnerable, and yet it's transformative. At the heart of dialogue is humility. We're stepping away from the royal throne and taking our place with everyone else as both servant and guest. Perhaps this all seems rather abstract, faced as we are with very concrete issues that need addressing. But then dialogue is an activity, not just a theory. The open hand of dialogue has work to do. If we address the issues of our day through mastery and monologue, we only make more victims. Dialogue is not just talk. It's a willingness to listen, to look, and to be moved to respond. The world stands in need of change. A conversion of mind, heart, attitude, action. The kingdom of God, Jesus calls it, not a religious reality in that narrow way we tend to use the word. The kingdom is about transformed human relationships, a different stance towards all creation. In the life of Jesus, the kingdom was expressed in the sharing of food. He sat down and was comfortable in the houses of those labelled by the powerful and the law-abiding as tax collectors and sinners. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father comes out to plead with his other son, who has dutifully stayed on the land and refuses to join the feast. There can be no social distancing. All I have is yours, the father says. He is your own flesh and blood. Come, join the feast. In the Eucharist, we hear Jesus' words, "Do this in memory of me." The Eucharist is more than nourishment for those who belong to God and are safely gathered in. It's a call to conversion of life. Do this, Jesus says. We've seen glimpses of that spirit of Eucharist during this lockdown, in strangers beginning to talk to, share, and care for neighbours they've lived alongside for years without meaningful relationship. We've stood outside to clap people we've barely noticed in the past. We've volunteered for the wider good of the community. It's a kinder and more sustainable way of living. It's our way out of here. And then there are those for whom monologue is the only way of speech, and profit and power the only meaningful values in town, and division and exploitation the best way to defend personal interests. I recognise the importance of holding this larger picture as I consider the very particular context within which I must make my own choices. Each of us begins within the confines of who we are and where we are. We do not have any superpowers to magic away wrongs. We also have relational commitments to others around us, in our families, workplaces, neighbourhoods, churches. Trying to save the large world by ignoring the smaller one might in itself express a lack of coherence and connectedness, like someone trying to take out a speck of another's eye while they have a plank of wood in their own. You might feel, as I have sometimes done, that you've been painted into a corner by the choices you've made and by events beyond your control. Then, I suggest, paint from your corner. No one else can. And open yourselves to the possibility that Narnia-like, a hidden door may open from that narrow space, leading you to fresh engagement beyond your current imaginings. We don't have to do everything. We just have to do that something that belongs to us to do. We don't have to do everything alone. There'll be others who share our values, hopes and vision. We do need to be bold. The urgency of our time requires our courage. One more story of feast might support us along the way. The day was getting late. The crowd had come out of their towns and villages to hear the travelling preacher. They were tired and hungry. Send them back home, his disciples pleaded. Why don't you give them something to eat? Jesus said. We'd no money for this crowd. There's nowhere to buy anything if we did. Go and see what you can find, Jesus suggested. They came back with a few loaves and two fish that a boy in the crowd had generously offered up, enough for a single family, perhaps. Jesus blessed the food and told his disciples to share it out. So little for so many. But gathering strength from one another, they began the foolishness of sharing what they had. And somehow, beyond their understanding, there was more than enough for everyone. How had it happened? Perhaps the generosity of the boy with his own lunch and the foolishness of the disciples in distributing it triggered a slow shame among the crowd. They took out from their packs the food they'd hidden away, lest the demand be made that they share it. And the feast began. Can the generous action of an individual or the folly of a group of friends working together bring about a change in a crowd beyond numbering? It seems so. To end, here are some thoughts of working for change that have become linked with the life of Oscar Romero, the former Archbishop of San Salvador, assassinated for his defence of the poor as he celebrated the Eucharist. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom is always beyond us. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. And now I will go and open the door.